Frog Nerdist and Random Crap Podcast. I'm your host, Lee Sands, aka Wild World Ranger, and tonight I'm joined by
Matty, aka Random Crap Ranger,
and Adam, aka Static Rift.
And yes, I know, I promised you Class of Red Rangers. It's been kind of sort of delayed. Largely due to the fact it's the type of film we really need to sit down and watch together, like, say, to edit Shark Attack. Or that good Puppet Master film. It's one of those type of things we need to sit down together to watch, folks.
It's been a while since we watched that. Kind of like this topic, only this thing sticks in my mind more because I liked it.
It really says something, that it's using the same source material as its film counterpart, yet it's...
Does it better.
Times better.
It does it right.
Alright, for those who don't know, and yes, this was something I wanted to do last year, but then Matty had to take some exams, so we got delayed, like a lot of things. We're finally reviewing the opening two-part out of the Green Lantern animated series.
It's only... I'm going to have to look this up. How late was this?
This aired, like, this time last year.
I think we're on series two at the moment.
I think it's, like, what was it, a 12-episode series? Then it started airing series two. Then they dropped it and said it's not coming back till January alongside Young Justice. Because, yeah, seriously, folks, they started airing Young Justice and Green Lantern again in the US.
Technically, it's still in season one.
I thought they split it at, like, episode 12 or something.
They're splitting it at episode 13.
Right, fair enough. But, anywho, folks, so we're talking about the Green Lantern animated series, you know, and it's created by, you know, the guy everyone loves, Bruce Timm.
Ooh, not sure who that is, but woo!
Yay! Hello, Joey.
Hello!
Yeah.
Just got home from work, and the cat's following me around.
Well, the cat's one feeding.
Oh, the cat's wrapped on it.
Fair enough.
So anywho, folks, so for those who don't know, Bruce Timm, well, the guy that spearheaded the 90s Batman cartoon. How could you not know who this guy is?
Okay, he's pure awesome, man.
You have no brain, you're dead, you're not born yet, you're eternally drunk. The list is quite possibly endless.
He then worked on Superman the Animated Series, Batman of the Future / Beyond, Justice League Unlimited. Then he got put in charge.
This highlight reel.
Then he got put in charge of DC. Oh, let's not forget Static. Static Sock. Sorry.
That was entertaining.
Oh god, now I've got this mental image of Crooks cosplaying as Static Sock, and it's the greatest thing in my mind ever.
Crooks. No. 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 No.
Well, no, seeing as I went, I think there's Deadpool. But for Halloween, I was Deadpool, so I think I'll stick with that.
Okay.
Deadpool.
Static Sock, now in charge of DC's Direct-to-DVD department.
Ooh.
And it's responsible for some really good films, such as Justice League Lost Frontier, Justice League Tomb, Justice League Crisis on Two Earths. Great title. All-Star Superman, that's a good one. Superman Doomsday's pretty good.
Not watched that one for a while.
Not 100% sure about Batman the Red Hood, because, yeah, like Superman All-Star, that's very recent, but it wasn't that great in trade form as well.
So I'll be honest with you, I'm on the fence about it. I've only seen parts of it. What I've seen's not bad, I'll admit. The Joker's not bad, but I've not seen much else of it, so...
I'll give it credit, they got John DiMaggio to do the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
A.K.A. Bender.
That's impressive.
I just want someone now. I want Bender now and Futurama to dress up as the Joker.
That would be interesting.
That would be just like the greatest fucking thing ever. It would be the ultimate in-joke that only fans would get. I mean, crying out loud, people forget John DiMaggio was the original voice actor for Grievous in Star Wars.
Shame!
You remember the Clone Wars cartoon?
What, the miniseries thing?
The very first one, you remember when it's like 5 episodes, and like, the last episode was Greek. John DiMaggio. And I'm pretty sure he was in the second miniseries as well.
Nice.
Not 1% sure if he was in the film.
And he's also Jake the Dog in Adventure Time.
Oh yeah, I can't forget that. Adventure Time with Jake and Flynn.
I can't forget it, purely because I've not watched Adventure Time.
Oh, it's just fun, it's just like... You can switch your brain off and just be, like, pleasantly entertained, you know? Like a Looney Tunes cartoon, you don't have to, like, overthink, you know?
If you have to do that with a Looney Tunes cartoon, you deserve to be slapped.
Well, no, I'm using that example. You know why? You can just switch off to a Looney Tunes cartoon and be pleasantly entertained.
Mm.
That's kind of what Adventure Time is. You don't really need to overthink. It's... I'm not saying that's a negative thing for a lot of cartoons, because this one, you know, what we're about to review, you've got to stay concentrated to watch it, and that's not a bad thing when it's well written. It's just Adventure Time, like Looney Tunes, is good for another set of reasons.
I've got to say, I go on the forum about Adventure Time, people overthink it a lot. It's brilliant.
I love that it's set in the post-apocalypse, and they don't dwell on it all the time.
Topic will be returned to shortly, folks.
Wait, what? We had a topic?
Yeah, we've mentioned it, we started on it, and we went off on a tangent thanks to... Oh yeah, Lee.
Hey, we're still talking about cartoons. On Cartoon Network, so we're still technically on topic.
By the barest of margins, so microscopically small it could be considered off.
Yeah, but seriously, Cooks, apparently that's so set in the post-apocalypse.
Oh yeah, it definitely is. It's awesome.
I know, that's like the greatest thing ever. But they don't, it's not like, say, RPM, where, Power Rangers RPM, where they're like, oh man, we live in a dome city in the post-apocalypse every day of our lives, and we have to fight Avengers, it sucks. No, Adventure Time doesn't dwell on it every single episode. It gets mentioned, what, once every 7 to 8 episodes?
Like you said, Adventure Time requires no brain.
Yeah, we're not saying that's a bad thing, though, folks. It's just so funny. Especially when Jake gets the girlfriend and they have to get that translator thing. It makes it sound like a dude. And Jake's like, I'm not too sure about this, honey.
It's always brilliant, Adventure Time. Definitely worth watching.
I do love his girlfriend. It's this weird unicorn dragon thing.
Lady Rainicorn.
Yeah.
And she speaks Korean.
Yeah, she has to have that little voice box and it makes it sound like a dude.
Topic.
Oh, Jake, my love! Sorry?
Topic, has it, yes.
Spoil sport.
Yeah, because I want it to think, because I still have to shower and shit, and I've still got work in the morning.
Alright, we'll get on to... Jeez!
Sorry.
Hey, so yeah, folks. Because Johnny Buskill insists, we're going to be talking about Green Lantern, the animated series. Well, more precise, episodes 1 and 2. Now, as we mentioned earlier, compare this to the Ryan Reynolds piece of crap. Oh my god, is this really from the same source material?
How did the filmmakers fuck this up? How?
How do you fuck up Green Lantern? Well, apparently, you know, there's literally a how-to guide now. It's called the Ryan Reynolds film. The same, folks. Do you want to know how to fuck up a comic book adapter? Go and watch the Green Lantern movie. Right up there with the Steel movie.
Whoa. The Steel movie is actually better than the Green Lantern film.
Okay, right up there with complete and absolute cock-ups with the Justice League live-action TV pilot.
Speaking of Justice League, I think it's 2014. Adaptation as film has been confirmed.
Oh, they ain't pissing on that because Avengers made a ton of money.
Pretty much, but my point still stands.
So, fun fact, because of, like, Iron Man 2 was, like, the year before, I think, for Green Lantern, rumours started circulating, Green Lantern's going to set up a Justice League movie.
It didn't.
No, it didn't. In fact, I'm quite grateful it didn't. I'm really fucking grateful it didn't. Last thing I want to see is Ryan Reynolds ruin something else from my childhood. Oh, wait, no.
He's going to be in it.
Oh, wait, too late. He's already in the Highlander remake. That's another part of my childhood ruined for life.
Well, they've not said for certain that he's not going to be in the Justice League film.
Yeah, last time I heard, Warner Brothers announced, folks, that they are still umming and ahhing about either A, doing a sequel to the Green Lantern Ryan Reynolds film, because apparently it made money in DVD sales. God. Or they might just do a complete reboot after Justice League. Because apparently that might be their plan. They use Justice League as a springboard to set up a load of new films.
Well, the Batman films will be getting rebooted after the next ones that get done.
Yeah, after Justice League they're getting rebooted, yeah.
Yeah.
God. Though I wonder what that means for Man of Steel next year. Is he going to be in Justice League, or are they just going to do a reboot after that? Seems like a bit of a waste of money to pump out this new dark and gritty Superman when you're just going to maybe casually reboot it the year after.
Yeah. I've not even seen that trailer yet. I'll probably look it up later.
Though what I do love, though, apparently Mark Millar's give his seal of approval on that script for the Justice League film.
Who did?
Mark Millar. Guy that created Kick-Ass.
Ooh. I can't remember who it was, but I heard that someone before was given the script, and they were just like, I am not touching this. Just like, if you want me to rewrite it, that's fine, but I'm not touching this.
Yeah, Mark Millar apparently said, it's going to be an awesome film, totally different to the Avengers. It's going to be dark and gritty.
Fuck off and die.
Yeah. Mark Kick-Ass Millar. Mark Sellout, because, you know, we all know how Wanted ended up. For those who don't know, Wanted, the movie, was based on a comic book about supervillains targeting superheroes for assassination. However, the studio decided to drop the superhero and spandex aspect, and Mark Millar started bitching. He then stopped bitching after they added a couple of zeros to his paycheck. Yay for artistic integrity, I guess, that he doesn't have.
Meh.
Yeah.
Anyway, Green Lantern in the series.
Yeah, we're nearly there. I think that was Ben Affleck, by the way, Cooks. They apparently approached him because Argo was getting good, like, feedback from test screenings. And apparently Ben Affleck was like, yeah, I'll do it, but I want to completely rewrite the script because it's sick. Adam?
Yeah, I think that was definitely the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, because I remember reading he wanted Kevin Smith to have a stab at it.
Well, Kevin Smith's probably a good choice because he's quite a comic book nerd.
He hasn't really done a comic book film, but it would be interesting. I know Ben Affleck said he would have got Daredevil 2 if Fox had agreed to hire Kevin Smith to direct and write it. But that never happened, so, you know.
Well, I think Matt wants us to go on to the topic.
Yes. We're getting there, Matt.
I'm sorry, because I heard Deadpool video game.
Yes, that's old news.
I know, it's just a game to, I want.
I'm waiting for a demo before I start going, you know, before I lose my shit over that, but anywho. Anywho, where was I? Yes. So here, Green Lantern the Animated Series. The pilot, I'm like, what can we say about this pilot? It really sets up...
The film should have done.
It really sets up this universe quite well. We get a lot for this. For those of you running, the plot is, we find out Red Lantern's in the Frontier Sector, which is the sector outside of known Guardian space, have been hunted down and killing Green Lanterns. Sorry. Hal and Killer Rog decide to steal Prototype Sip named Aya to go and rescue her. And by the end of the episode, we find out about Red Lanterns, and the planet explodes, and the new Frontier is dead. That is literally it in and of itself.
Pretty much.
We don't mean that in a bad way, it's just how it's set up. Though I remember saying this to Crooks when we watched it round your place last year. What's the bet the only reason we got Red Lanterns? Because the higher ups said, don't use the Sinestro Corps yet until we get the second movie out.
Possibly.
Yeah, I'm actually glad they went for the Red Lanterns, because it's sort of like, the Sinestro Corps, it's always the go-to, but
going for a different cause. I mean, from what I've seen, know of the series so far, it's gone with nearly all of the cores, I think.
Yeah, I know the Blue Lanterns show up later on. I don't know about the Indigo or the Orange Lanterns. But if we definitely got blue and red, then I wonder how long till Carol gets her...
The Sapphire.
Yeah, the Sapphire Court Ring. But that could be later on as well. But yeah, sorry. I do admit that I'm a little disappointed we didn't get the vomiting Red Lanterns like in the comics. But I guess they've done that just to not for the kids, you know?
Yeah, it's just a kids' series, dude.
Yeah, I know what they're saying. Because also, in the comics, they're more mindless. Only Atrocitus really has free will. The others are all like mindless attack dogs, essentially.
Pretty much.
Though it is interesting, folks, more Red Lanterns from the comic do show up later on in the series. I'm just not 100% sure if that Dark Star Cat shows up yet. Mm. Yes, there's an evil Red Lantern kitty cat, folks.
Amused we are by this.
Oh yeah, it's a fan favourite. Basically, when it first appears in the comics, it's like up to a Sinestro Court member, and he's like, what the F is this? And then it goes... So he does the hiss and vomits the Red Lantern blood energy thing to vaporise his face.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope that does show up at some point.
More than likely will do.
But even though it didn't go down the whole vomiting thing, it's still quite dark.
Yeah, and
it starts off with a character dying, straight away.
It's not dark and gritty, though. It's more non-insulting to kids, though.
Mm.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
It's not
I'd say that sums it up.
Yeah, it's not like... Oh, God. It's not like they've gone the old... I'm trying to think of a good example. I'm trying to think. Do you remember the good Sonic cartoon?
Yeah.
Would you call that dark and gritty?
I had moments, but...
It's not... I'm trying to think. It kind of reminds me...
For a kid it is.
Yeah. For a kid to say that was dark and gritty, because essentially Robotnik was turning them into Cybermen.
Delete.
Oh, that would have been the greatest thing ever if we actually got that, but we never did. Thank you. But yeah, it starts off with a Green Lantern being killed, and then like apparently 18 months later its ring finally arrives on Oa. We're then introduced to Hal Jordan, who... We're getting portrayed more as the hotshot pilot than as...
Than he actually was the first I've seen. In the series, Hal Jordan in this was voiced... I think the animation style, I think it was done by the same people as well. But Hal Jordan was voiced by Josh Keane, a.k.a. Peter Parker from The Spectacular Spider-Man, and Jack Darby from the recent Transformers Prime series.
And he does a very good job, folks. I mean, very distinctive. You know, when you first watch this, you don't think Jack from Transformers Prime.
No.
Though, what I do find interesting, originally he was scheduled to be in Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes.
Seriously?
But then he recorded his lines, he was in the booth with the actor of Captain America for a few scenes, they got him in, recorded, and then when the episode came to air... He then found out he'd been replaced with the annoying twit from Ultimate Spider-Man.
This was for...
The Avengers cartoon.
No, I know the Avengers cartoon. Which character?
Spider-Man. Because they had Spider-Man in the Avengers for two eps in Series 2. Three eps.
Sucks.
Sorry, three eps. First one, he teams up with Captain America post-Skull Invasion. Another one here, he's part of a team of Avengers with Luke Cage, Danny, Fist... Iron Fist, sorry. Wolverine.
Spider-Man Unlimited or Ultimate Spider-Man?
No, they got the actor from Ultimate Spider-Man instead. Yeah. Even though they'd already recorded the original lines with Joss Keaton from Spectacular.
Oh, that sucks.
I know, and he weren't told until the episode aired, so I'm not 100% sure if he even got paid.
Oh.
That is annoying, though. Especially his fans were kind of angry.
That's a kick in the nuts.
I'd imagine they'd have to have paid him something, but just not a lot, because they didn't actually... Cause the laws were a bit weird with that, with voice acting.
Well, because it's cartoon, I think they got the royalty option as well. It's not like with anime where you're in the booth, you record your lines, and then you're out.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of them go for video games as well. Or hell, it's not like even with Power Rangers. We owned you for 2 years. You're recording this line for a video game. Oh, cool. Does that mean we get paid extra? Silence and record your line, slave.
Yeah, that sounded like it
sometimes. Oh, I wish I was joking. Oh, God. But anywho, so we got Joss Keaton, we got the actor that plays Bulkhead in Prime, playing Killer Wog.
I'm still amused that Ken Michael Richardson, he did that, and then the series we had before, Batman Brave and the Bold, he was the Joker in the Batman. He did a really good Joker for that show.
Yeah, I didn't really like the Batman. I'm not saying he's a bad voice actor, I find it hard to fit his voice to the Joker.
No, that version of Joker they had, I mean, that Joker, he fit the role quite well.
He did have
a quite psychotic tinge to it.
You can't replace Mark Hamill, though.
Oh, God, no. No, I never said you could, but his take on the Joker wasn't bad. It wasn't quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I think one of the things I wasn't too sure of was he seemed a bit more deformed as the Joker. Like, he had that giant bulbous head and that, and...
Look at the art style of the way that show was done.
I know, I'm just saying, it kind of still felt off-putting. Even though the original Series 1 outfit reminded me a lot of Dead End Joker, with the straight jackets and that. Mm. God, you ever watched that fan film, Maddle?
Which one's that again?
Batman Dead End.
No, I've not seen that.
I'll send you a link after this. I remember showing it to Matty, and all Matty kept saying at the end was, "That's it!" I was like, yeah? Where's the rest of it?
When was that?
It was around here, a long time ago. Yeah, you haven't watched Dead End here?
Yeah, I think I've got eager memory. I think I've just forgotten about it. It's been a while.
It's alright. I just remember that. That's one of the things I remember about Dead End. And yeah, I've got some Dead End. So we'll cover Dead End another day, folks. Anywho. So, Hal and Killer Wog, who... along with, I think it's Salak, the guy who's pretty much in charge of all the data handled by the corpse, who monitors all the rings, etc. Because even he said, "You didn't think it was important to tell us about this?"
I'm sorry, I'm still amused by, when they come in, he said, "You punched him in the face. Is that true?" "No, sir. I punched him in the stomach. Then I headbutted him."
In the face.
Because he was a crook.
Yeah, I just love, you just, in the background though, you just see Killer Wog's reaction, you just stood at attention, you see how saying it, so Killer Wog's just, oh god damn it! You see him slump as he hears it.
You think that makes Hal Jordan a Lethal Weapon 2 fan? You think when he headbutted him, he said, "It just got me votes"? Oh, come on, you guys have seen Lethal Weapon 2, right?
Oh yeah, seen them all.
I would love it if we got a fast flashback and the guy goes, "I have diplomatic immunity." Punches him in the stomach, headbutts him. "It just got me votes." That'd be the greatest thing ever. Oh.
And Killorg just going, "Oh, I was just off of retirement. I'm getting too old for this shit."
To be fair, if a Green Lantern actually said that, I have no doubt he'd then get shot in the heart. Oh, that's a fucking pain in the ass. Back. So anywho, yeah, so folks, this show's in CGI, but it's still Bruce Timm character designs. It's just, imagine Justice League in CGI. This is like the only way I can describe the animation style, because this show has had no end of complaints from so-called fans moaning about the animation style.
I'd say it's a basic kind of Incredibles kind of animation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in some ways, it, like I said, it reminds me in a way of the style used in Prime.
Yeah. I mean, the character designs are all by Bruce Timm, and he has a unique art style. You can see that through all his shows.
Mm.
You know, Justice League, Batman, Superman, etc.
Yeah.
And it's basically that design just brought up in 3D. That's all it is.
Yes.
But people still complaining. I'm like, oh, sit up.
Exactly.
But, God, I want to see action figures now just compare them to Justice League action figures.
Yeah.
Because even the action figures for Justice League were still based on the Bruce Timm designs. They just looked a little...
I don't know.
What's going
on? Sorry. Joey's looking for food bowls for cats.
Oh. Bless you.
Bless you.
Anywho, so Kilowog and Hal, along with Aya, who Hal is constantly flirting with, pretty name for a pretty girl, just starts rubbing that joystick the wrong way. Yeah, you got that, baby.
She doesn't really have a gender.
You see, that's a female voice, and he keeps calling her a C, because all ships are Cs.
But, I mean, they could have easily downloaded a male voice into it.
Then that would have been creepy when he said, pretty name for a pretty girl. My name is John! An okay name for a bit of drinking buddy. Yeah. What is interesting, Aya does get a body later on, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. I've seen some of the things.
The fanfics are writing themselves. Hal's looking out into the stars. Kilowog walks behind him, puts his hand on his back.
Die in a hole.
Don't go broke back on me, Kilowog. Broke what? I said, don't go broke back on me. We can all just look at him and say, what the fuck the hell are you going on about?
Anyway.
So, they go out into Frontier Space where they meet up with Trill, was it?
I can't remember his name.
And they rescue him from two attacking Red Lanterns, and they're thinking, eh, we'll sort out these Lantern Killers. Wow! Damn, they pack a wallop.
Yeah.
And they find that, and I love Kilowog's line, what the knock is a Red Lantern?
Smack! That's a Red Lantern.
So, after, like, you know, Hal's distracting them, Kilowog gets to the other guy to the ship, and then, like, they finally, like, beat him off after Hal hooks up his ring to the ship's engines and just blasts them for dear life. But,
Anyway, at this point, they find out they can use the ship to recharge their rings.
Despite the fact they've already brought their own batteries with them.
Yeah, well, it's a case of they couldn't quite access them because they're not near the batteries. And Hal's ring actually ran out during that.
Yeah, but Kilowog brought them with him.
Yeah, I know, but...
So they went to the batteries can't be recharged. They probably have to use...
They can get to the battery at the time. He was running for his life.
Sorry, I thought you meant they didn't bring them with him.
No, they bring them with them. It's just at that point they found they could use the ship to recharge.
Oh, we forgot to mention how Hal tries to steal the ship. Makes this construct of Ganif, is it?
Ganfith,
I think that's his name. Tries to use the full security system's like, I was not created yesterday. That's clearly a hologram construct. Intruder alert, ow!
I just have Ganfit's floppy arms in the air.
So. Yeah. He's like, Ganif from the Guardians! Woo! I'm a green ghost! Spooky!
Punch.
So, anywho, so yeah, Kilowog was thinking the same thing, stealing the ship. And which point they do, actually. And the Guardians are like, get the ship back! Get fucking out of here!
Yeah. And the one that showed them the ship, just in casual passing, he wasn't planning for them to do it at all.
Yeah, Gan... Sorry.
He was just amused.
Yeah, Ganeth, yeah. That's what Ganeth's called. Ganeth, in the comics, Ganeth was the original sole survivor of the Guardians after the whole Parallax incident in the comics. When they decided to make the comics dark and gritty.
Because he was the one that still knew what the hell was to do.
Well, it was the 90s. We just had Batman get his back broken, Superman died, and got replaced by four different people.
Green Lantern went crazy.
Yeah, Hal went crazy because the cyborg Superman blew up Coast City, and then, like, became Parallax and murdered all the... Vaporized his killer rogue down to his skeleton, might I add. And then Ganeth, the last one, just gives the ring to some comic book artist called Kyle. And he's got the sole Green Lantern, the last of the Green Lanterns. It's this punk-ass teenager from the 90s who looks like he should be in the real world.
Mm.
But, well, he was. Though I do love, like, opening, like, I can't remember, I think it was the opening six issues. He's got a girlfriend, you see the girlfriend, she's a supporting character, and then she gets murdered by a supervillain by having her body sucked into a freezer.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah. Dark and gritty Green Lantern, folks. It was wacky!
You have a strange definition of wacky, I hope you realise.
Sarcastic.
I know. Sarcastic comment was sarcastic.
We could have had that film instead of this Green Lantern one.
Would have been better.
Yeah, that was the Jack Black picture, allegedly. So I don't think we would have kept the whole girlfriend being sucked into a freezer.
Jack Black, you never know.
He was trying to go for the serious route, and then DC Comics were like, yeah, Jack Black, it's going to be a comedy. He's like, what? Anywho, so yeah, so they beat off these lanterns, they get in the ship, and like they basically explain what the Red Lanterns are to the Guardians, and they're like, oh, he's made us all up.
And was it one of the guys, was it Ganeth that realised, no, you idiots, they are real?
Yeah, it was him and the female lantern. Guardian, sorry. Oh, what's the bet? If they do go the whole Guardians making evil zombies in this show, that's going to be the guy in charge of it. That dickhead Guardian.
More than likely.
But,
I do not know his official name. He, from henceforth, he will simply be known as the Dick.
No. The Blue Knob. Guardian Blue Knob.
No.
Yes.
Mm.
Now I've said it must be now canon.
Or Papa Smurf.
Yes, Papa Smurf. All right.
Now Grumpy Smurf. Blah blah humans. Blah blah.
Anyway, so, explaining about the Red Lanterns, is it, they plan on coming back and they find the ship's busted, don't they?
Yeah, because Hal started to play hot shot and all that.
Yeah, I still love that, and it's just, the ship, they go, we could just use constructs, right? Ship mentions so many parts have to be done accurately. It looks Kilowog, can you do that? I just love Kilowog, I just looked at him and goes, I make hammers.
I love the whole... She goes, it'll take 9 minutes, 9 months. What? Okay. Slight delay to our plan.
Yeah, and I like how at the beginning he's like, oh, don't worry, I'll be home in time for a date.
Yes.
No, you won't.
A date. Wink, wink. He wants to have sex. Seriously, I look at Hal Jordan, I keep thinking Captain Jack from Torchwood.
No, I'm not seeing it.
He'll have sex with anything if it has a hole.
Lee, I don't know what you're watching, but it's not the same thing we have.
Could be worse. We could have a Welsh Green Lantern played by Eva Miles, who cannot do a Welsh accent to save her life.
Yeah, so, what's it?
After Brutal Human!
So they find out the ship's fucked.
Yeah.
And it was what, they tracked down the Red Lanterns?
Well, it was the probe that attacked them, and then the probe left the tracking beacon, and the plan was to then go to Teal's homeworld to get him a doctor and that.
Yeah.
And they basically, they're thinking, oh, we could chill out here for a day or two, just chill out, make battle plans. Nope. Atrocis shows up with this giant, weird-looking spaceship.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently, Atrocis keeps going on about how the lanterns destroyed our homeworld. Kind of similar to what happened in the comics. In the comics, Atrocis was the only survivor after the Manhunters completely, absolutely annihilated all life in their in his space sector. That's the Manhunter.
Technically, the Guardians built.
No, they outright built the Manhunters. The Manhunters used to have Green Lantern powers.
Yeah.
But they're a bit too strict, and it basically resulted in universal genocide for several races. But they gained intelligence, and basically said, "The Lanterns are our sworn enemies. They will be annihilated, destroy, exterminate."
No, they are not Daleks.
Not yet.
Mm.
But so. Like I said, we haven't watched a lot of Eps, so it's sort of similar to that. Only he keeps saying, "God, he's destroyed our world. I am Atrocis, girl, argh." So then he basically says, because they're hiding out on Jill's home planet, well, it's a colony, not necessarily his home planet, it's still his home. They drop this thing where basically it's going to drop a bomb into the planet and blow it up within like an hour.
Yeah.
So they basically come up with a plan. Kilowog and Teal drill under to get to it, while Hal takes on the Atrocis and the O&M alien, as I like to call them.
Yeah, Razor.
No, you're the one.
Pinball.
Yeah,
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, I was about to say, the one voiced by SpongeBob SquarePants.
Blink.
I want someone to take like sound clips and add them into footage from both respective shows. Like take the Green Lantern sound clip, put it to a SpongeBob clip. Like Mr. Krabs going, "SpongeBob, why haven't you cleaned up?" And the sound go, "I will rip out your throat and sew it down your neck."
That would be mildly entertaining.
You mean like Hong Kong SpongeBob?
On what?
Oh, someone made a parody video where it's like China-based SpongeBob.
I wish I hadn't asked.
It's quite funny. He's like, "Ah, Patrick Son, what are you talking about? There is no such thing as a paid holiday."
Slap.
Great leader said our internet is bad. We shall not go on US sites. Anywho, so, yeah. They try to stop it, but Razor presses the button and the thing's about to drop, so Teal then like puts a block to try and stop it. While Kilowog's like, oh no, Kilowog gave up fighting him, didn't he, after the thing dropped, because Teal was trying to turn it off.
Yeah.
And he's failing. Hal gets the crap kicked out of him by Atrocis, and then they like realise, so the thing's been set. Right, come on, Pinball, let's get out of here.
Yeah. Razor tries to help, doesn't he? Well, they catch him.
But more so, Razor's having doubts.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, should we really massacre all these people?" And they're like, "Yeah, we'll save our galaxy from the lanterns. You know, what's one planet to several others? Yeah, yeah, yeah." Razor then, like, he's fighting Kilowog, and then he has doubts, and he just runs away. But then, after Teal and Kilowog have this heart-to-heart, because... as we find out, so, like in the comics, Kilowog's homeworld's been destroyed.
Mm.
And then Teal says to Kilowog, "If you had a chance to save Balavax Vic, would you take it?" And then Kilowog's right, "It's been an honor," and flies away. We later find out he then saves as many colonists as he can.
Yeah.
Then Razor comes back, he's about to finish off Teal, but now Teal says, "You really don't want to do this. You're not evil. Why?" And then Razor just like leaves as well and flies off. guilt ridden. Hal tries to go after Atrocitus, but then the planet blows up.
What was his name? Teal,
I think.
Teal. We lose him, and it's just the only difference is he had some development in those two episodes. He was likable.
Yeah, you actually feel bad when he dies when you see the ring flying past, heading back to Roa.
It's just, why was the Green Lantern film not capable of this? It had a bigger budget, it had bigger actors in it, and it just fucked it all up. Actually, the Green Lantern film, they might as well have just done that all in CGI.
Yeah, considering the costumes are CGI as well.
CGI, seriously, it was just CGI models, they just stuck a human head on top, and it's just...
It really says something that Bruce Timm did a better job at making a Green Lantern film twice before coming onto the series.
Yeah.
I mean, First Flight's an okay film, but Emerald Knight is more of a film for, like, someone who's read the comics.
Yeah.
Oh, plus it's Nathan Fillion, it's Cal Jordan, so...
Yeah.
The man, the director said, oh no, you're too old to play Cal Jordan in my film. Kindly leave.
Yeah, that's just... I'm still thinking bullshit on that one.
Considering that film and how pompous it comes off as, I could believe it. Anywho, considering the new Batman is going to be the guy from The Lone Ranger as well, and he's quite young. What else was I going to say? So Atrocitus on the bright side thinks the Lanterns are dead, so that kind of gives Kilowog and Hal some time. Because then, after Hal survives the explosion, he gets into a fight with Razor. Razor's like, end it, end it! And Hal kind of has a serial killer moment where he makes this giant drill and slowly lowers it down to Razor.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
No, Mr. Razor. I expect you to die.
But then he doesn't. He just like, beats him up a few more times. He's like, you will live with the consequences. And then he just rips the ring off Razor.
What's in space?
Suffocates.
Yeah, well, he makes the bubble to save him.
Yeah, well, no, not suffocate. His blood would boil before he has a chance to suffocate.
Well, it is a cartoon. I mean, Hal lost his power on an asteroid in space earlier on in the film. I think it was Crooks who said it last year when we first watched this. It looked very demonic when they took the ring off Razor.
It did.
Adam, anything you'd like to add?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay. Just checking. So, Hal meets up with Kilowog, he saves many as he could, then Aya comes back, saves him, they take him to a nearby planet, and... I guess it's a happy ending, because they save some people.
Yeah.
But both Hal and Kilowog are feeling down. Kilowog because, you know, he failed to save his world, and Teal did a better job as a Green Lantern than him, or so he thinks. And Hal's feeling guilty because, you know, they could have prevented this. They could have just gone right back at the very beginning, loaded all the Green Lanterns and come straight back. No, he had to play hot shot with that probe.
Yeah.
Which I like, because it basically shows they are flawed heroes. They're trying their best, but they are flawed.
This is true. They're not trying to pull them off as perfect, or Gary Stews, or whatever.
Yeah. So then that's... And then it basically the episode ends with them going, or how are we going to take on all these Red Lanterns? He's like, we'll make a plan. And then they say, what are we going to do with that guy? And it gives Razor depowered in his little cell. Looking evil.
Flick.
And that's where the pilot ends. Yeah, but
how did the film not get it right when the series obviously did?
It really says something that this like 40-odd minute cartoon did a better job than that like 90-minute feature film.
Let this be a lesson from Uncle. Used him. Always use him.
I'd say the worst scene in this cartoon is better than the best scene in the film.
What was the worst scene?
be honest, I don't know if there was one. But, you know, it still stands, which, you know, that all of this, every moment, is better than every moment in the Green Lantern film.
Any standout moments to you guys, or...?
Not off the top of... So many to choose from. I still love just that first bit where Hal meets the guy and Kilowog's just like, don't expect me to bail you out. Walks in. The senator says, you know, and what have you done? You punched him in the face. Is that true? No, sir. I punched him in the stomach. Then I headbutted him. Just that, and then just Kilowog in the background stood at attention and his ears is just slumping as if just saying, oh, shit.
You about to say, Cooks?
I was just pretty much saying that pretty much everything Kilowog says is just all witty one-liners. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Can you... So, Kilowog, do you do any of that? I make hammers.
And then later on, from a clip I saw on YouTube, he makes machine guns, rocket launchers, and a giant bazooka that's like 20 times his size. All to beat the shit out of like 5 Red Lanterns. You just like, ah, this ain't working, time for a bazooka. They're like, oh my god.
Lee?
Yeah? Hello?
Oh, hiya.
What happened?
I don't know, there's a bit of comms going a bit weird then.
It's Matty, I think.
You still there, Matt?
No, Matty's gone.
No, I'm back.
Ah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Is it still recording?
Yeah, still recording.
Yeah, it just dropped on my end.
We'll quickly round this up then, because it sounds like it doesn't want to work for much longer.
No.
We're getting near the 50-minute mark anyway, so hang on. Okay then, we'll quickly round this up then. Great.
Must watch best of series. Must watch more.
I'm not sure if this has been said yet on the podcast, but 5 out of 5.
I'm not 100% sure if it has been said before.
I don't think there's anything been said before that warrants a 5 out of 5, because most of the things we end up watching are at best 3 out of 5. At worst, the scale cannot even begin to go low enough.
Infinite minus infinite out of 5, I think, was one thing we reviewed. Can't remember what that was.
I don't want to.
I'll give this 4 out of 5. It's a fun pilot. Well, 2-part opening. I would have liked to have seen more Green Lanterns, but I guess they had to spend their money elsewhere, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this is the case of setting the scene, introducing the main characters we'll be dealing with. There'll be other lanterns, but we can't introduce them all in just like a 40-50 minute episode.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I would have liked to have seen a few more. From what I understand, the bulk of the series was Hal and Kilowog in Frontier, but it didn't last as long as people thought it was going to be, because apparently, I think it's episode 12, Hal's back on Earth. So I think around episode 10 or 11 they sort of wrap it up. I have to go back and double check, but yeah, I highly recommend this to anyone who's not watched it. And with that, I think we best call it quits. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Good night, folks.
See you guys.
Laters.
Coming soon to MisfitsAudio.com, the much-anticipated series of galactic proportions, sure to bring order to the chaos of this universe.
In brightest day, in blackest night,
Darren Marlar as Hal Jordan.
No evil shall escape my sight.
H. Keith Lyons as Guy Gardner.
Let those who worship evil's might.
Chris Stathler as John Stewart.
Beware my power.
And Jack Calk as Kyle Raynor.
Green Lantern's Light!